Welcome to Pharma Talk Radio. I'm Kimberly Chin, Marketing Director of the Mobile and Clinical Trials Program. Pharma Talk Radio is a nonprofit program to disseminate helpful information to the life science and patient advocacy communities. Today's radio program is a session focused on how a human-centered design approach was used to create MyRA, an award-winning app for patients living with rheumatoid arthritis.
Great, thank you. Appreciate being here this morning. Since I'm the last person between you and coffee, I will try to keep it so you stay awake and we get there quickly. I'm going to talk briefly about an application in rheumatoid arthritis. Many of you may already be working in this area, 1.5 million patients in the U.S., approximately 2 million in Europe. And key part here is it's a chronic condition, and what we're interested in, similar to, say, diabetes, is really want to get that inflammation under control because there's a cumulative damage that's happening in the body. So how can we monitor and measure that? I assume there aren't any rheumatologists in the room, so I can maybe make some comments about rheumatology. I think if rheumatologists measured their patients, or diabetes physicians measured their patients the way rheumatologists did, then they would squeeze your liver and ask you how you're feeling, and that's how they would know how your diabetes was doing. So there are certainly things we can do to improve measurement in rheumatology. And really what it comes down to today is there is no really great gold standard today. So it really requires using multiple modalities of measurement. My company is in the lab space, so we have a protein panel called Vector DA that measures disease activity that tries to bring a more objective way of measuring disease activity, but also that it isn't perfect. It's not the one gold standard. So it's important to also have things like imaging, like patient-reported outcomes, like a clinical exam also. And to be frank, with the way rheumatology is practiced today, about 50% of rheumatologists don't actually measure anything systematically. In some cases, they may use what's called a Brooklyn hack with patients, which is how you doing, or kind of seeing how you walk into the room, and that's how I assess how your disease activity is today. So one of the things that we got interested in was, in addition to doing something in the lab place here, was also bringing the patient component, because there's some things like pain that we don't have another better way to measure through a magic imaging or lab. So we started looking at early on at how we wanted to bring the patient component in. And this is an early paper prototype of, say, what a website might look like. But we're here today talking about mobile. Forcing a patient to go and sit down and log into a website to do something isn't necessarily how you want to do things. So we thought, well, we want to do something in this space. We probably want to do something with mobile, but what should we be doing? And took a step back and said, well, first, let's kind of follow a design process here. And these are kind of three, you can use, have more steps to this, but three fundamental steps for human-centered design. The idea of first really having empathy, inspiration, and talking to the people you're interested in, whether it's patients or also, frankly, physicians and other healthcare staff, because we're trying to get the two of them to work together in treatment. Ideation, where you're really looking at what do you want to, starting to prototype and come up with ideas, whether it's on a whiteboard, paper, or actually putting something in the hands of people. And then finally, implementation. And I think this, I found this tweet not too long ago. The bottom one, if you can't quite read it, it says, my last piece of advice, don't assume you know what patients want. Please ask them. Let's work together to innovate. And I caught, what caught my eye was the one that said, and we should all be doing this. One of the things looking at that first stage was some of the early market research we did said that patients, actually 60% of them, were already doing some kind of tracking, but they're doing it in a way that was not really accessible to them over time, or certainly to be able to share it with their physician. Coming in with a nice big journal and saying to your physician, here, let me show you what's in here, that's going to extend that 15-minute window and or make it a non-productive visit. So one of the things we did is we brought together a panel of patients that the company was engaged with and did a brainstorming session. This is actually a photo from an exercise we did during that session. And one of the things that emerged out of having that conversation with a group of them is they kept coming back to, I've got this really limited window of time with my physician, and it's not a satisfactory experience. I don't feel like I'm getting the right things out of it. It's not really working very well, not communicating with my physician. So, and one of the people that we worked with, who's a, both a patient and a longtime person in our industry, she approaches her doctor visits as business appointments. She comes in with her agenda. She's got all of her materials ready. She's got her medications, her recent measures, et cetera, all gathered together. Now, she's an unusual case, but nonetheless an inspiration. How can we inch somebody a little closer to that way of viewing how they visit with the doctor? So that was kind of the aha moment for us coming out of this was, what we're really actually trying to do is improve the patient-physician communication, and if we can make that happen, then that's really our end goal. So how do we get to that goal, building something to make that more possible? So we said, well, maybe if we have some way that people can track and then share the information, and we created an iPad application pretty quickly that would do this at a very crude level, and then started showing it to physicians and patients. And what's great about having a prototype is you show it to people, and what most people said about this was, wow, I really don't like this. But if it could still do that, or I like this one thing, and that's good there, then we actually started to learn what could we distill down into a real application for people. It was a great way for physicians to tell us what they were really looking for, and also patients to tell us what they would want to do or what would work for them. So we showed it to physicians at a physician meeting. We went to actually a conference of patients, which are great if you can find one of those and get a concentrated set of people in one place, especially people that are motivated enough to come together are really interested. And we did a survey, and I actually went and sat down with patients and talked through and showed this to them. That was a lot of fun. I have to say, one of the things is that universally happened during that was everyone, when they came to sit down and take their time with me, was thanking me for being there and hearing their stories and trying to bring something of utility to them. So that was really a great feeling. So using that input, we then said, now we want to build something. We're going to build a mobile app. It's called MyRA. First off, we wanted measures that were of interest to both parties. There are a lot of things we could measure, but in the end, something that a patient is interested in gathering and seeing and that a physician is interested in using. It needs to be easy for the patient to enter and capture, because this was the whole idea, is if we wanted to get down to that endpoint where the physician would have the information, then the only way it was going to happen is if the patient actually took the time to do it. So we had to make it somehow fun and engaging, something that they would do on a regular basis. And one of the things what we had here was also, don't make it feel like a piece of medical equipment. It needs to be something that's a little bit more friendly, even whimsical. I'll show you one thing in the upper corner here is one of the first measures is called Big Picture. Now, it's called a patient global in rheumatoid arthritis, but that's not necessarily a term that's as meaningful to a patient, but you call it, how are you feeling, what's your big picture, then they get that. So then the idea was to try and track it in a way that works for them, and then also, in particular, let them personalize it, and then make it easy for patients to do joint pain in their hands. And what I mean by that is, if you looked on the slide with the iPad, you saw down in the corner there was this strange kind of monstrous looking thing with giant hands and feet. If you've ever seen how joint tracking is done by in rheumatology, it's on a homunculus, and it's not a very human or friendly looking thing. So what we did is we created a figure that you could tap on the joints, and then you could tap to zoom into the hands or feet. So now it's something that's more friendly and comfortable. And the visual designer did a wonderful job and created this character, who we now call Myra. And actually, our marketing people had the great idea of building a life-size, you know, cutout of Myra, and we take that to conferences sometimes, and people will come up and get their photo taken with Myra. So she's got her own following now. I don't think she has a Twitter account yet, but one of the things in terms of thinking what making it easy for a patient with rheumatoid arthritis is if they can't, if it's more comfortable for them to speak in a note, then we've got a way they can record it, be being able to take photos to show, say, a rash or some other kind of unusual swelling they have, because, of course, by the time they show up in the doctor's office, it's not going to be there anymore. And you don't probably want those photos in with your photos of your kids and your vacation when you're trying to show things to people, so these photos are kept just within the app. I'll come back a little bit to the pain, how we track pain, because I think that connects nicely to one of the earlier talks about novel, looking at novel ways of tracking and how might we use those in studies. So the other thing I mentioned here was just about being at custom. So we're using some of the standard measures that are used with patients in questionnaires. So for example, what's your difficulty with, say, getting dressed or bathing? But also make it that you could enter your own. So how am I doing in terms of playing with my grandchildren? Now, again, on a clinical trial, we may not use that particular measure, but in a clinical setting where you want to try and motivate people to track and personalize it and see how am I doing on the things I care about, that's really something that makes sense. And then we put tracking medication in here, and for two reasons. One is so as they're trying to see their own progress over time, they can see how that tracks with changes that they've made on their medication. And also, frankly, it's useful for them to put this in there, and then when they're talking, sitting with the physician, hopefully the two sets of medication match with one another. So the physician, maybe if they see a new medication they haven't seen before, then that's a subject of conversation. So then there are a couple ways you could summarize. One is we have a way in the application you can see your numbers. There's a way you can click and then see a chart over time. But one of the novel things we came up with was this ability to sort of see it in a calendar form. So those little colored squares are laid out like the days in a calendar. And red means it's not so good, it's really running hot. And then cooler colors mean you're doing better. So you can see a pain, you know, a pain or sort of how quality of life sort of satisfaction over time. Also where some of your hot spots are for pain. And then we created this report for physicians. Now, one of the things with today's era about data sharing, privacy, security, it's a little difficult to get the report to physicians, and we're thinking about how to improve that. But they can email it to their physician, and some physicians ask their patients to send things to them directly through email. They can also send it to themselves, print it out. But one of the things, you just see the little pattern with the, it's a little hard to see, but it's got the little colored bubbles over time about where pain is. That's over time compared to, say, the medication below. So this is one of these where you can imagine, why do joint-by-joint pain measures? Because patients told us, asking me on a 10-point scale how my pain is today is not something that really makes sense to me. It's my elbow hurts a lot more than it did yesterday. I've got this pain in my hip that's now been growing. It wasn't there last week. How do I fit that into a 10-point scale? But you can imagine if there was some way we could derive that down into a score and look at that score over time, that's something where you come up perhaps with a novel measure. But I think it was interesting listening to the talk earlier about how would we perhaps actually put that into practice is interesting for me to think about. But for the moment, we're doing it visually. So a physician can see a pain pattern over time and then talk about that. And look at these other measures and at a glance be able to say, well, I see a dip here. You know, a month ago, what happened? It looked like maybe you had a small flare but didn't come into the office. And by the way, so we weren't just designing this with patients but also with physicians. Multiple times we went back and said, hey, we want to bend the rules a little bit here. Instead of doing 10-point scale, we're going to do 4-point scale because that's easier for patients. You okay with that? Yeah, I think that works for what we're trying to do with this. Trying to make this quick at a glance, so we actually worked with a rheumatologist to really help us lay this out and showed it to other people. So what kind of response did we get? For patients, very, very positive, really saying that this was something that felt to them that was really designed for them and for the first time had something that really fit for what they would need, very easy to use. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of gratitude for putting this together. We found that maybe patients don't use it all the time. Maybe they use it only when they're feeling lousy that they start tracking. And that's okay, because then at the end, they go back and they've got 2 weeks' worth of data. Well, it's when was that 2 weeks, and now it reminds you how you were feeling, and you've got some information from that point in time. Now, from physicians, there's some... they appreciated having a view into that window between visits. So if some of you may be familiar with Rituxan, for example, as a drug that you take injection at the physician, and it has a pretty long runtime before you would take it again. I'm going to say the label's probably like 6 months. But in practice, it wears off at different times with patients. So a physician could put a patient on Rituxan and then now be able to see what's the point at which it seems like it's starting to wear off, and they can customize that window. They are concerned about this may feed the kind of obsessive nature of some of these patients. As a chronic patient trying to deal with pain, they may want to come in with the report and say, now explain every little curve and what nook and cranny and what happened. And one of the things that, and I'm sure since you all are here and thinking about clinical trials, is they want to see more validated measures in here. And we thought about how to combine the both. What's the ones that are easy and simple to do, but perhaps weekly or monthly? We asked them to fill out a validated survey that would just take a few minutes, but we would still have that kind of validated measures sitting in our time series over time. I mentioned liability concerns in the sense that some physicians express concern about receiving data that they don't necessarily know what to do with, and not sure about keeping that in their record for the patient. Although there are other physicians who, for example, have patients fill out surveys and then never actually look at them. So you get kind of a range of responses there. But something that we're thinking about is, how do we actually take this data? We actually have a portal for physicians for them to access their lab results, so we're now thinking of bringing this data into that, but giving the physician some control over what comes in and how they see it. And that's really kind of the wave of the future here is, of course, all these things that we've developed in the industry to be able to do lots of measures. And now, these things we're talking about today in terms of the information coming from patients, of course, the real challenge in the clinic is to actually be able to integrate these pieces together. There are a lot of people who are working on this on the care side of the picture, not as much on the trial side, and yet it's really interesting to watch what's going on in that world and think about what are those measures and experiments can we actually bring into trials. So I realize I wasn't talking today about trials as much, but hopefully a little bit of inspiration about spending time with patients to make sure as we do things like EPROs, as we try and put things onto a patient's personal device, we make it something that kind of fits and is something that they want to engage and use. So thank you very much.
For more information about the annual Mobile and Clinical Trials Program taking place September 24th, 2018 in Boston, visit theconferenceforum.org. Thanks for listening.